Hello, and welcome back to Even More News, the first and only news podcast. You got that right, darn tootin'.
Yeah, there's no way to get that wrong. It's the same every time, and it's true every time.
Hey, hey, hey.
Hi.
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 Oh, hey.
What?
Whoa.
Someone else is here.
Wait.
Surprise.
Surprise. Will Gord, our director extraordinaire. I don't know. You're a lot of things. You're more than just a director.
More than just a...
You're a writer, producer, all of the things. And you're here today to join us to talk
stand
about
Stand up guy.
Thank you, guys. Thank
hey guys,
you for having
up.
Me. I'm not going to stand up.
Okay.
No, please don't. You'll be so far away.
You won't
away
be able to hear me. It'll be like, oh, can you hear
also,
me?
Also, I mean, well, that kind of works. I was going to say it's a real visual bit. Mm. And that would have, but it would have played if this were like a live show or something. It wouldn't have played well, but it would be fine. You know, it'd be like a funny ha joke.
Uh-huh.
It would have been really, really hilarious if I stood up and you could see it. But since you
yeah.
can't, it's only partially hilarious and
yeah.
I could lie about it.
Guys,
yo.
Guys,
yo.
Guys, we've got some holidays. We do. Oh,
whoa.
Boy, do we have some holidays. Today, October 14th, National Be Bald and Be Free Day. How do
okay.
you feel about that, gentlemen?
Fine and good.
Fine and
no,
good.
No notes, no issues. Be who you are. Don't resist the passage of time.
I said bald,
because you can't.
Not bold, right?
You can be bold, too.
You can be bald and bold.
Yeah, be yeah. boldly bald.
In fact, that's my note. You could be boldly bald.
Yeah, Picard baldly went where no man had gone before, right?
Nice. Yes.
Thank you. There we go.
That's what I've been told. And tomorrow, October 15th, the day this episode is being released, is National I Love Lucy Day. I Love Lucy premiered on that day, October 15th, in 1951. I think we could... Does she need a day?
Well, I mean, she's not getting a day. The show's getting a day.
I would rather this... Okay, wait. I would rather this... be Lucille Ball Day. I Love Lucy has got Desi in there and like...
So I feel like usually like Lucille Ball Day would be her birthday, right?
There might also be a Lucille Ball Day. This might be an additional.
Now.
Yeah, we got to find that out.
I don't
believe
there
is. This is all the hard-hitting news.
But, you know, I mean, it was pretty formative. It was a pretty important show back then.
All right.
She was a pioneer of comedy.
Yeah.
She really was. I adore Lucille Ball. I'm sure
it doesn't sound like it.
No,
sounds
I
like
do.
You're trying
there's
to
probably...
cancel her in her big day.
Yeah, you sound know. Like you I'm... got a big problem with Lucille Ball. What's going on here?
Do we even know the real Lucille Ball?
I mean,
do we even know if she would she have stood the test of time? Bring me Lucille Ball in this present day, and I'll bring you a woman that begging to be canceled. I'm not dying on this hill. I love Lucille Ball. I just was trying to go with a bit. I love her. Cut all this. This felt bad.
Keep it. It's fine. It's good.
She's incredible.
You're...
Although,
no,
yeah, there
Katie
might be something terrible that she's done. You know, I wouldn't be surprised.
They're coming out with a biopic, and then we'll find out the real
and
truth.
And then we'll, the real truth. For sure, they'll include all the times she...
Stop slandering Lucille Ball, Katie. I don't know what your problem is.
Will, we're going to get to the news, but first... just a quick check-in. How the heck are you?
I'm good. This has been a busy month, especially for the show. We are jam-packed with stuff. And so my brain hasn't really had a chance to think about too much else other than like moving forward. And sometimes that can be a blessing.
So you don't have time to like dwell on it.
I don't have time to think about how I'm doing, so I can't answer you. I'll check back in when I ask myself that question.
You have time now.
Yeah.
Take all the time you need.
Yeah,
5 minutes can be silence until your answer.
Mm. All right, let me think.
Okay.
I'm doing pretty good.
Nice.
Yes. That's what you love to hear. He's right. It has been a busy month, 2 months. It will continue to be busy.
mm-hmm.
But we're figuring it out. We're finding our stride. I think that as we're ramping up production, as you guys should know by now, and if you haven't, you will. We're doing this new thing. And it is every week now mm-hmm. instead of twice a month, mm-hmm. which is what we'd been doing before. It's different, but it's exciting. Cody's
Speaking
got his finger
of
up.
Which, rate and review the podcast.
That's right. You guys did such a good job
yeah.
of rating and reviewing last time. We have to remind you to do it this time.
And we just did. And we will again in the future.
And now you'll rate it and you will give it, what, 5 stars? It's a stars system, correct?
Give the most number of stars, the biggest stars possible.
If you are giving me less than 5 stars, I don't want it.
Absolutely.
Should we talk about some news?
Have we not been? Is this not news? Breaking news, Katie Stoll hates Lucille Ball. There's some news for you.
There's some news.
I'm feeling really bad about everything I've said so far. Jonathan, do you have some breaking news for us?
I do. I have some news. There are some strikes happening.
Yeah, baby.
More than 10 strikes.
Oh, yes, multiple strikes. More than 10,000 Deere and company workers went on strike on Thursday after their union rejected a new contract. I did hear that as
Deere, like 10,000 Deere. Mm-hmm. Boycotting Christmas.
Mm-hmm. We're not flying for Santa this year.
This is the time to stand their ground if they have some issues that they need.
Elves are on strike.
Yeah, the elves are on strike too.
We will get to that probably.
Yeah. Okay.
Supply chain issues for the elves.
So Rudolph is really just a scab. Mm-hmm. All the other reindeer were on strike. Rudolph is.
Yeah, that's what that red nose is.
Yeah. So we should rethink that whole song, not just Baby, It's Cold Outside. Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer is the real problematic one.
Yes.
This is John Deere. They make tractors. You knew that. But in case you didn't, 10,000 of those workers went on strike on Thursday. There's a Kellogg's factory worker strike that's in its second week.
There are those Keebler elves.
Kaiser Permanente healthcare workers could soon go on strike, as could 60,000 film and TV workers if IATSE doesn't reach an agreement with the Producers Association. So... what do you guys think?
This is exciting.
I mean, yeah, no, this is workers should get the things that they need. it's the kind of thing that we don't see a lot and is the kind of thing that also could lead to a general strike if enough of these unions communicate with each other and coordinate and organize this kind of movement. It does seem like the labor movement is reinvigorated.
Yeah.
Which is like a weird way to put it because it's because of bad conditions and pay and stuff. It's like, oh, I'm reinvigorated because it sucks. But that's...
I also wonder if a lot of this just has to do with the pandemic and all the reevaluating of our work life that everyone did. Healthcare workers, all the strain and trauma that they've had to go through. I just can't help but think that it's connected to that, the pandemic.
Absolutely it is. And when I say it's exciting, I mean, it's obviously very depressing, the circumstances surrounding which, you know, people are needing to band together and strike. Over the past year and a half, looking at this pandemic, it's felt very demoralizing and depressing how much does not change. How much it marches along. The problems get worse and worse and we all just continue to shrug, and it's felt very demoralizing and depressing. Because if this doesn't change things, then what will? I don't know. And so when I say exciting, I'm like, here it is. Here's the change. I'm hopeful. I don't know. I'm hopeful that these individual strikes are effective. But this general overarching sense of people banding together and collectively working towards improving conditions, I find very exciting. And, you know, and of course, we've been really on this show and on Worst Year Ever, we've talked about the looming IATSE strike. And it's massive. An industry-wide strike of that sort has never, ever happened. And it's huge. So I do see this as a very positive, a big step in the right direction. We talked about on Worst Year Ever as well this week, the Southwest Airlines strike, and there was a lot of misinformation or people assuming it was because they were protesting the vaccine mandates, when in reality the Pilots Association was protesting the fact that in these contracts there was no allowance for sick leave if there was side effects from the vaccine. And so, you know, but again, it speaks to the system-wide problem that they have communicating with the airlines and the disorganization that they've had throughout the pandemic. I've been talking for a while now.
Yeah, I agree with you completely. And I also think it's worth noting that the way that Fox News has been characterizing labor problems has all related to vaccine mandates.
Right.
Meanwhile, there's all these strikes going on, and they're paying no attention to what the actual demands of workers are and just pretending that all the workers are mad that they have to get vaccinated, which is
happening. It's extremely comical in a sad way because they've also, you know, there was that brief time period, I think they're still trying to do it, where like the Ted Cruz's of the world were like, actually, the Republicans are the party of the working class now. But are they? Don't even support a minimum wage increase, are you really? So that's gonna, either nothing will happen from that, or it'll actually come to a head and they'll have to like, you know, pony up and actually you know, begrudgingly sort of come together and do good things for workers.
Well, yeah, and I mean, this is about so much more, you know, places that can't reopen or they're having trouble staffing people. Well, people aren't going to go back to your crappy job with terrible work conditions.
Yeah.
It's not worth it for $14 an hour, for $12 an hour. Fuck
what,
you.
4.3 million workers quit in August. Work sucks. and people know it. And if you're like, if you're not being treated well, then
you can find another way to make $14 an hour. You know?
Although also you can, it's hard to get work out
you
there.
You can't. So, even as I'm saying that, I'm like, no, yeah, you can't. But I mean, yeah, there's all these I was listening to different pieces of like, actually, there's a lot of people out there looking for jobs, and you think, oh, there's jobs everywhere, but they're not getting called back.
Right. And the fact that we've got unions going on strike and fighting for better working conditions, that's the sort of power that the left needs. That's something that can actually change conditions for workers.
Or the right can.
Oh, yes. The Ted Cruz's. They love the John Hollies.
Yeah, they love you know, disrupting hierarchies. That's all they're about, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm.
The elites.
Yeah, exactly. Don't buy Kellogg stuff if you can. I'm working on a theme song for this. But the lyrics are just fuck, 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 we broke the news. So I might need to go back to the drawing board on it.
Is it a theme song for all of Broken News or for each new individual story?
Well, now it's the second
now
one.
Now he's rethinking everything.
God damn it, Jonathan.
Cody's going to be up all night, every night before the podcast recording.
All right, we're done. Worker strike song. Okay. All right, Shatner in space. Okay.
Shatner in space.
There we go. Perfect. I recorded that. That's what you heard just then. That was the recording.
Pre-recorded.
Professional recording, yeah.
So William Shatner became the oldest person to ever go to space this week. I think we can say space instead of the edge of space. He got past the Kármán line. A Jeff Bezos Blue Origin rocket. Shatner called it the most profound experience I can imagine, said everyone in the world needs to do this. He got very emotional. He tweeted out an Isaac Newton quote. He was trying to describe the majesty of space when Jeff Bezos interrupted him and asked for a bottle of champagne.
I swear. Okay. So, all right. It's not important. This is so frustrating because it's a really just a... it's a very just stark example. Like, this is the problem. And like, Jeff Bezos goes to space. He's got his fucking fake ass cowboy hat on and he comes out. It's like, best day ever. And he goes off and he's like, yeah, I really learned that we got to like pollute in space or whatever. And then you have this actual like person who is moved by it. I don't know. Maybe Jeff Bezos was actually moved by his experience. It really didn't seem like it. It seemed like a fun little amusement park ride to him. That's how he's treating it. Maybe he didn't go far enough, but it just seems like he's treating it like this, like, epic sauce, like, fucking ride that we all get to go on. Whereas William Shatner's going up there, and you know, we can talk about William Shatner and his fucking issues or whatever, but, like, he goes up there and he has this emotional experience, this profound, like, human reaction to seeing the planet from space, and then you've got this guy's like, oh, just get the champagne, while he's talking about how amazing it is. And it's just like it's interrupting the real benefit that this experience can do for people to really like make them think about their relationship to the planet.
Right.
And he's interrupting it with this like bull. I don't know. It's just bullshit.
It's so cynical because it's like playing on people's emotions about like space and how small we are, and you can imagine that being a profound emotional experience, but you're just using that to like push your stupid company that's going to do all sorts of dumb stuff.
I do want to clarify my reaction because I interrupted a weird point and said, calm down now, to William Shatner about his... I meant specifically, he said the line of everybody needs to do this. And I don't like that thinking because that to me sounds like prices and stuff that people are charged for and pollution in space. And there's so much shit here on Earth that needs to be focused on. Like it's cool that people are doing this. But again, eyes on the prize. You got the perspective. Cool. But we need to save it so we can stay here, you know?
Yeah. Well, and I think I'll give Shatner the benefit of the doubt here, because I think that what he is saying is something that, you know, he's not thinking about the pollution. He's not thinking about these things.
No,
he's thinking like,
I
had this amazing experience and I felt the way that I'm trying to explain if fucking Bezos would shut the fuck up for a second. I felt this.
Totally.
And I think everybody should, because there is an element of that. Like, you know, Bezos isn't, because he's warped in his little billionaire bubble, but it can change you and it can make you feel more connected, not just to the Earth, but to other human beings. And I think that that is a great experience to like work towards giving everybody. Well, Katie, like what you're saying, those are considerations, obviously, and we're not going to like
I'm not criticizing William Shatner for saying that. I'm just explaining my reaction when he said it. And just in general, this just people go into space now.
Well, also, because one thing that we're missing a lot of, and less so in like rural areas and other areas that you could be, we don't see the sky anymore. There's a very incredible, also profound thing you can experience by just looking at like the Milky Way, not just like the stars. You can see some stars, but like the clouds of the Milky Way. Mm-hmm. I forget when it was. There was like a blackout and then people started calling the cops because they're like, wait, what is this? What's there's something in the sky? And it was the Milky Way. They were seeing the Milky Way because we just don't anymore. There's too much light pollution everywhere. And I don't know the solution to that or how we can work towards like limiting light pollution, or maybe special glasses. We'll get everybody special glasses that lets them see the Milky Way. Oh my, hello. You know what I love? Playing Minecraft. Seriously, that's a thing I do regularly. One of my favorite aspects being redstone circuits. And I'm told frequently that this is also a thing that children love to do. Play the child's game Minecraft that I love. Kids are terrifyingly savvy with computers and programming and such, and that's actually a really good thing to encourage. That's why I'm here to tell you about ID Tech, an online computer camp designed to teach computer and science skills to anyone from ages 7 through 19. No 20-year-olds! Over 1 million parents have chosen ID Tech to help their kids fill learning gaps and explore important topics not covered in school, like critical race theory, or in this case, computer stuff. And right now, ID Tech is offering a deal where you can save $150 on weekly small group semesters or get started with a one-on-one tutoring lesson for just $49. They offer stuff like Minecraft modding and game design, Photoshop tutorials, working with Unity, stuff that kids and some Codies actually want to learn. Stuff that will actually apply to a future job in STEM where they can make lots of money and, after using their hacking skills to eliminate the need for jobs and money, use that leftover money to buy their parents a car or maybe a nice meal or something like that. So heck, go to idtech.com/morenews right now and use code morenews to save $150 on weekly small group semesters. For a limited time, you can also get started with a one-on-one tutoring lesson for just $49, as I've said. That's code morenews at idtech.com/morenews to save $150. And your child can be hunting sewer demons in no time. I realize there are no sewer demons in Minecraft. I know that. idtech.com/morenews.
Oh, hello, love. I'm actor Cody upon Johnstonshire, and I'm here to tell you about stamps.com, one of the ways you can spend things that need stamps. You know, maybe you need the services of the US Postal Service or UPS or some blimey like that, and so stamps.com will be there to give you exclusive discounts and facilitate bulk orders so you can send whatever, wherever. You get me, mate? I'm from Canterbury, I am, and I use stamps.com for shipping all kinds of British things. I do. All you need is a computer and a printer, and let the stamps.com do the rest. They'll even send you a scale so you can measure measure out all your kilometers before you print out your stamp. It's a wonderful deal, isn't it? And with stamp.com, new rate advisor tell you can even compare shipping rates and timelines to figure out the best option and be like the lord of the mail. Bob's your uncle, mate. Cheers. But if you use the promo code MORENEWS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. No risk! Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone bubble at the top of the homepage, and type in MORENEWS, and you'll never have to go to the post office again. But also, it's good to support the old post office as well. Post offices are good. Smashing, babe. Tom Hardy. Oh, hello, love. I'm actor Cody upon Johnstonshire, and I'm here to tell you about stamps.com. One of the ways you can send things that need stamps. You know, maybe you need the services of the US Postal Service, or UPS, or some blimey like that. And so stamps.com will be there to give you exclusive discounts and facilitate bulk orders so you can send whatever, wherever. You get me, mate? I'm from Canterbury, I am, and I use stamps.com for shipping all kinds of British things I do. All you need is a computer and a printer and let stamps.com do the rest. They'll even send you a scale so you can measure out all your kilometers before you print out your stamp. It's a wonderful deal, isn't it? And with stamps.com's new rate advisor too, you can even compare shipping rates and timelines to figure out the best option and be like the lord of the mail. Bob's your uncle, mate. Cheers. But if you use the promo code MORENEWS, you get a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus free postage and a digital scale. No long-term commitments or contracts. No risk. Just go to stamps.com, click on the microphone bubble at the top of the homepage, and type in MORENEWS, and you'll never have to go to the post office again. But also, it's good to support the post office as well, you know? Smashing, babe. Talk.
I want to talk about this next part of this topic, which is the Prince William comments. Jonathan, if you want to set that up for us.
Yeah. So Prince,
because it goes William, hand in hand here.
Yeah. So today, or the day after Shatner went to space, Prince William gave an interview to the BBC, and he talked about that there's a strong sense of climate anxiety among younger generations. The quote specifically that he said is, "We need some of the world's greatest brains and minds fixed on trying to repair this planet, not trying to find the next place to go and live."
Ooh. Based now, Prince William, maybe.
Bold words from the future king.
I know, world's greatest brains and minds. What's he talking about?
This is a prince? I'm not well-versed in the doings or goings-on of Prince William, but what is he doing about this? Is it just a comment every once in a while about what we
well,
should,
that's
what
better
should
than
be
what
doing?
In the past royals have done, which is nothing or sure, not sure, comment sure. on what's happening in the world at all, or, you know, stay out of things. So anyway, to me, I just was like, yeah, that's right. That's what we need. We need people not focusing on space. Spend your billions on ways to get clean water for everybody. You know, let's make desalinating the ocean economically viable, or, you know,
I mean, and you can explore space. There's nothing wrong with exploring space, but that should be like a collective endeavor, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
But not like the idea of exploring space because you're looking for a life
the
raft off of this planet.
Right, that's what I mean. Yeah, as a rescue ship or whatever.
Well, and this is even like his comment is more like, it's not, he doesn't know, like, it's really something directed more at, like, Elon Musk. Because Bezos isn't trying to get off the planet. He just wants to commercialize space.
Right.
Which is another issue. His goal is not... Neither of their goals is exploration. It is either, we gotta get out of here, or we gotta make money off of space.
And probably looking with an eye towards the future collaboration between the military and private industry that'll ultimately end up in space as well.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's what's on Bezos's mind. He's not really like, okay, yeah, he gave William Shatner this profound experience, but it seems like it's for show so that he can sort of put a nice little space face on what he actually wants to do. For more information on this, watch our episode about Jeff Bezos on somemorenews.com.
Well, so one thing we've been seeing a lot over all over the place lately is stuff about our friend Donald Trump again.
Yeah.
As if he is definitely 100% going to be the 2024 Republican nominee. There have been op-eds. Bookmakers have him as the favorite. Senate Republicans, most say in private they don't want him to run again, but none of them will say this publicly. So wanted to get your thoughts. Is he definitely the nominee?
Oh, I don't know if he's the nominee, but he's running. And if he runs, he's probably the nominee.
If he's the nominee, if he runs, he'll be the nominee.
Well, It's like whether or not he runs is the question.
But I do think he's like, think he's intending to run. I think that
he loves
he won't run if he dies.
Well, that's the thing, because like, I mean, yeah, he probably will. But if he does, A, it's his party. That's the deal. This is where it is now. But also, like, no other person in the party is going to be willing or able to run against him. Like, I know even Matt Gaetz has said, like, I'll run if Trump doesn't run. Ted Cruz would absolutely not, like, aside from, like, I don't want to, like, challenge the big man, but, like, he would not be able to handle running against Trump again. Like, nobody is equipped to take on Trump in the way that he needs to be taken on in the Republican Party. It will turn into just primary again, well, like 2015, 2016, but worse, right? Because it'll be like, oh, he's trying to take the party from you, the people. I'm the real guy, remember? Like, it's going to be a mess.
If you're a Republican, you can't run in a primary against Donald Trump, because then you'll just completely screw over your entire political career, because you'll be going directly up against Trump, and Trump is the Republican Party. So you can't. The only person who could maybe do something like that is some like anti-Trump Republican. But who is that? Mitt Romney? Maybe.
And even then, like, they like either you love Trump and you want him, or you like accept Trump. Right. In terms of like being in the GOP,
right?
And the number of people who are just like no, hate him, bad for the party, still a Republican. We gotta move on from this guy. I just don't think there are enough of them to get behind anybody.
No,
I mean Mitt Romney certainly isn't able to do that. But I don't even know if there is anybody who could be like we're moving past this guy. Please, like, let's show that it's possible.
The other possibility that I would love is if he teased that he was going to run the entire time and said he's going to run and going to run. And then, like, right when it comes up against it, he's like, oh, I'm not going to run. They're going to cheat. They have it. You know, I'm not going to. I have better things to do. And then there's like no Republicans
ready that he will do it.
Yeah, I think you're right.
I think he'll do it. Yeah. I think that that maybe he's teasing it. He hasn't officially, but the more attention, the more we talk about it, the further away he is from the limelight, and then people wonder what he's doing and speculate. Double-edged sword of the Twitter ban is that he is getting closer and closer to it. And it's scary, because I think that he would run and he would get less votes, but probably
he could win. He could win the presidency again. Like, he could definitely
he could win again,
be president
and at that point,
again.
It depends on what happens between now and then. But so far, Democrats aren't doing much. He can double down even further on the corrupt establishment, and this time focus on and scare all the establishment Republicans that dared go against him. And we're just going to see it. And I'm terrified. I am.
Right,
I don't want to be sensationalist, but I think that what we're seeing, we're potentially in a stage where all of these pieces are getting set up, not to mention the voting restrictions, all the shit that's going on. We've got judges, all of his judges. It's not good.
Yeah,
if he decides to do it, it's not good.
He's got that base.
He's going to decide to do it.
And we've talked about this, like, will Trump run a few times, and I just think that the best way to deal with this is to not talk about it. He loves being talked about. He's going to do what he's going to do no matter what, and I don't know what speculation actually accomplishes beyond, like, maybe he will. That's so scary. Like, what are we going to do? And, like, well what
it's
are we going to do?
It's kind of the problem. Like, not age old, but the problem of the last 4 years, anything regarding Trump. If you don't talk about it, they're doing it in secret. if you do talk about it, you're giving him the attention he wants.
Right. Well, it's hard for me to imagine that the media would be able to resist the ratings that they would get.
Well,
by
no, that's,
they just, miss
well, that's
it.
They
miss
reason,
him being president.
The reason we're talking about it is because they are talking about it. Yeah. Like, we're not speculating. We're not talking about this because, like, hey, let's talk about whether or not Trump's going to run. We're talking about it because there are 50 articles a day about whether or not he's going to. And they already want him to be around again, even though they, like, they don't, but they kind of do, right?
Right.
So, yeah. I don't know. I just, I'm always hesitant about feeding into that. Because it is just speculation. Because ultimately, what are we going to do?
Well,
talk about it. Like,
yeah, the other side of it is more like that you'd want to focus on in some ways is like, what do we need to do to make sure that someone like Trump isn't in a position to win? You know, less about like, is Trump going to run or is he not? But like, what can we do to make sure that
we as individuals?
Well, you know, what do we meet the system?
Well, the answer
right,
to that is aside from like a lot of election reform and stuff like that, and
yeah,
like
bleak.
Campaign finance reform and things like that. The answer is do things that are good for people that they will remember when it's time to vote. If
right.
you get good things that people like that benefits their lives, then they're not going to be like, ah, oh, the system sucks. And every time I vote, it's the same. Every party's the same. Well, no, actually, look what has been accomplished for you.
Right.
Look what can be done.
And you know, I think that it is true in a lot of ways that voters are more driven by negative partisanship than anything. But at the same time, if you are doing good things that people like activists want done, then you're perceived as winning. You're perceived as,
right.
And the people who are motivated and energized will spread the message to others that like, hey, this guy, this party is doing good things. Then you have like an air of confidence. You know,
right,
around
you can go, you can knock on people's doors, and instead of saying like, I guess it's Biden, right? You can say like, hey, look what happened. Like, do you have children? Did you get this child tax credit? Guess who did that for you? Like,
yeah.
You can actually have the ammo to talk to people to say the good thing, combating, you know, whatever negative thing they're saying.
Yeah, all
something
of this is true.
That we've touched on that I think everyone's crossing their fingers for. Just to put this out there, Trump will be 78 on Election Day 2024. His father lived to be 94, and his mother lived to be 88.
Oh, gosh.
So, if we're all hoping for one thing, I don't think that's going to save us.
Yeah, yeah, no, exactly.
He's going to live forever. He's going to be the first guy to live forever.
Eats McDonald's every day, going to live forever.
Hi, hello, I'm Katie Stoll, producer of Some More News and host of Even More News. Do you like watching your employees eat raw eggs, but aren't sure if you can legally require them to eat raw eggs? Well, luckily there's a solution, and that solution is Bambi. No, not that idiot deer, but Bambi as in B-A-M-B-E-E, the HR firm that will help you treat employees the right way. For serious, at least some of you out there run a small business, and no doubt you want to make sure that your employees are treated fairly and paid well. But having an entire HR department isn't cheap, which is why for only $99 a month, Bambi will connect you to a dedicated HR manager available by phone, email, or real-time chat to help you ensure that your employees are happy. The service is month to month, there are no hidden fees, and you can cancel at any time. We are talking experienced HR managers who understand the nuance of any state your business is in and will help you customize HR policies for whatever your needs. Like, I don't know, an entire page in your orientation pamphlet concerning the eating of eggs. I'm just spitballing here. The point is, go to bambi.com/morenews. Right now to schedule your free HR audit. Yes, a free HR audit by going to bambi.com/morenews.
Katie Couric writes in her new book, Going There, that
Love
she edited
this one.
She edited out comments from a 2016 Ruth Bader Ginsburg interview where the Supreme Court justice strongly criticized kneeling during the national anthem. The day after Ginsburg told Couric that kneeling displays a, quote, contempt for a government that has made it possible for their parents and grandparents to live a decent life, which they probably could not have lived in the places they came from, the head of public affairs for the Supreme Court emailed Couric and asked her to remove the quotes.
Oof.
It's interesting. Bad. I mean, that's pretty bad. It's interesting because she already had a quote that was like pretty bad.
It was still bad. That's what Katie says. She's like, well, we left this part of it in.
Yeah.
But. Yeah. They left it in, like, where she said dumb and disrespectful.
Yeah. But this is pretty bad. This is like a very, right wing, pretty racist framing of how history worked and how it works. And like, aren't you grateful that? It's like you see it online from like anonymous people with like Roman statues for their avatars. They're like, well, we gave like white people freed the slaves. Like, it's that kind of mentality, right?
Yeah. Well, it's also like their grandparents were living in Jim Crow under Jim Crow laws, right?
Right.
And they have a better life than where they came from. Is such a passive word, where they came from. It's like, you mean where their ancestors were stolen and enslaved,
where we
from
them to live.
Also, having a contempt, you're having contempt for a government that made it possible for your parents and grandparents to live a decent life, and also a government that made it possible for you to be able to kneel for the flag.
That's the whole point
is that you can do that.
Yeah, it's shows a very disturbing lack of understanding or context of the situation that you would expect from a Supreme Court justice, especially a liberal hero Supreme Court justice. I've seen people talk about, I mean, a lot of people try to make excuses for this. Oh, that can't be right. She didn't understand what she was saying. What do you mean she didn't understand what she was saying? Or like, you know, different era, all this shit. Another reason why they shouldn't be on there for life then, maybe, if you're not going to be able to keep up with understanding the social concepts that we're talking about.
Also, and like, this is, you know, the quote is the quote, and you know, there are other things in her that she said and done that sort of alluded to the sort of, you know, racist sort of view of some things. But I feel like also people are sort of focusing on the RBG aspect and not the fact that Katie Couric protected the Supreme Court justice.
I think
By not publishing this quote, she's a fucking journalist.
Well, she got pressure from it, but also
she
could have stood up. She's still Katie Couric.
She got an email requesting that you remove the quotes, and she could have responded to that email with the word no, because the quotes were said. So I feel like she's kind of getting off the hook
I agree.
And yeah, she's not a small town journalist trying to make a name for herself. She's Katie Couric. She's one of the most famous journalists in the country.
And like, it's it's the sort of theme I think people have noticed over the past few years of these sort of things happening or events or quotes, and then like 2 years later. Check out my book for the real stuff. It's like, you're a journalist. What are you doing?
Yeah, what are you doing?
I know what you're doing. It's rhymes with... no, it just is cha-ching. It's just like...
Because it's not all that surprising that like an 80-some-odd Supreme Court justice would have like beliefs about American exceptionalism that way. But in some ways, the story is more that Katie Couric cut that out, sat on it and wrote a book and released this to be like a tasty tidbit to make sure that people buy it.
Yeah, you know? And because she was a big fan of RBG and wanted to protect her and stuff. And
I've always been more of a Sotomayor stan myself.
part
of the Kagan clan.
The Kagan clan.
You're a Kager.
Yeah, I'm a Kager. Yeah, less of a Ginsburg gang member. There we go.
Ginsburg
gang?
A Ginsburger.
I think that works.
All right, guys. This has been fun. Let's talk about the supply chain, shall we?
Ooh.
Yeah, that's where you say yes.
What a
very excited,
sexy topic.
Please.
So yeah, we are having some major supply issues. To be clear, this is mostly a labor issue with a lack of truck drivers and port workers to, you know, get the things off the ships and where they need to go. And these supply issues are driving up prices on literally everything, gas, bacon, cars.
The thing that I think is most like significant about this topic is the way that inflation is being talked about. Because I feel like, you know, because of the supply chain issues, that's leading to inflation. But then inflation is like always used as a way by for the right wing to cut spending that helps poor people. They're already saying like this inflation is being caused by the stimulus checks, which was creating an imbalance with demand and supply. But really, like the inflation and the supply chain issues are in large measure because of the coronavirus, which is something that the right wing doesn't actually seem to want to do anything about, considering they spend all their time talking about how dangerous vaccines are and how and mask mandates.
Mm-hmm. Well, another part of it is also severe weather events.
They don't want to do anything about.
Yeah.
Right. Right. I mean, it just in general, it's kind of the theme of everything we talk about today and in general. These are problems that aren't going away necessarily. Like they're indicative of problems at the source, that we're not treating workers right, that people don't feel safe to come to work, that there's all this misinformation around coronavirus, around the pandemic, that people have died. A massive amount of people have died, that the weather events are going to continue to keep happening, keep being extreme, that this is a shift in the way of life. And part of the problem is that we expect things to be delivered quickly and promptly. There is some amount of, this is back to the supply chain and what we're dealing with. This is not so much as inflation, but there is an expectation. A lot of the focus that in the media and of people talking about it is like, are we going to get our stuff by Christmas?
Another thing that might help this is that the right wing doesn't want is infrastructure spending.
Uh-huh.
That could help our supply chain issues a little bit, I would imagine, especially going into the future where we're going to continue facing supply chain problems caused by extreme weather because of climate change. And so it's just like you can see the future, what it's going to be like.
Right.
And you know that you need to do something about it. And then they instead are talking about, you know, vaccine mandates are hurting the economy. And it's like, I don't think that's, yeah. Right. And they're saying the reason this inflation is because we've been giving too much free money to everybody.
Right.
But that's not why it's happening. We just have supply chain problems, and it's supply chain problems caused by things that you don't want us to have solutions for.
So, right. They're, yeah.
Yeah.
But be wary of just the standard inflation is high. It's because of government spending. We're spending too much money. That's the way to deal with inflation. That's how Reagan did it. Even though he didn't cut government spending, he just cut the social safety net. So those are the talking points you're going to hear, is that, you know, unemployment insurance and the child tax credit and any stimulus that's done is going to be the cause of inflation. And just know that that's total bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, there's the way the pandemic influenced this whole thing, it's very complex, right? I think it's very easy to boil it down to, there is, we gave a lot of money to people, so they all want to spend money, and now there's too much demand. That's very simple. But the pandemic did a lot of very complex things. What we talked about earlier, this people reassessing what they want to do, what they think of as work, how they want to live. It could be they're still worried about COVID-19 and not working. It could be that they want to work and they can't find childcare, affordable childcare, or they may have died, you know?
Right. And that's what's so frustrating about these conversations, when it's indicative of so many vitally important problems and conversations that we need to be addressing. And yet the overarching narrative is this thing that's wrong. That's completely false. And everything gets spun up onto that and it just muddies the whole. Yeah, obviously it muddies the water. It distracts from the actual point, you know. But you're right. Completely correct, Jonathan. Like, everybody's priorities have changed. They've learned how to live differently.
When, like, more people are relying on this, like, they're relying on getting things delivered more and more and more and more.
Yes.
So you're putting more strain on it.
Oh, yeah. And demand can change quickly, right? Like, you reopen businesses and then suddenly demand goes up right away. But the, like, process of supplying can't ramp up as quickly as demand can.
No. I mean, people, like, with the auto industry, the beginning of you're placing orders for manufacturing so far in advance. And so at the beginning of the pandemic, they're like, whoa, 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 you know, or maybe the factory has to shut down because of whatever different set of circumstances for the specific industry. Of course, it's going to be long term affected by this shit, you know?
Yeah. The reason the right wing is going crazy about Christmas presents is because those Christmas presents are usually here by now. So because, you know, because Joe Biden isn't there like hauling boxes off of a ship that's just coming to the port of Long Beach, you know, Christmas is ruined all of a sudden.
This is how we're going to lose 2024.
But in reality,
that's how we're going to win the war on Christmas, though. So,
yeah, so
that's right.
Weigh the benefits there.
This is the last battle in the war on Christmas, and Joe Biden is the general that's going to win it for us.
Yeah, finally. I think that's a fair trade-off. We lose 2022.
We're in
the
end game now.
Yes.
I'm tired of talking about this depressing thing. Let's talk about something else awful. Dave Chappelle and Netflix. And on a good note, it's been a minute since this came out, but Will, I heard you watched it.
I mean, there's so much that's already been said about it. So my take is, like, in some ways I want to look at it less from a comedy perspective. Parker Malloy wrote a really great essay about just how tired the trans jokes are and how basic, like, you know, I identify as a helicopter.
Yeah, I identify as a trans joke. It's the one joke.
Or like, oh, is this person a man or a woman? I don't know. It's a woman with an Adam's apple. Just like base stuff that's just like, okay, whatever. It's just not that creative. But this special is a comedy special, but he's making an argument too. And so I thought, like, I'd think about it a little bit from that perspective, because there's jokes and they're either good or bad, whatever you want to think about them. But the main thing is there's whole sections that aren't jokes. They're just part of his argument. And the main thing is he just gets a lot of that stuff wrong. You know, like he says, he describes the way that like J.K. Rowling got canceled just because she said gender is real. And it's like, that's not what happened. Or that like transgender people made up the term TERF to win an argument when it's like, no, they didn't make up the term TERF. So he's just getting a lot of things wrong about the... In support of his argument, he's just factually inaccurate. And then the basic understanding of the issue, considering how much he talks about transgender issues in his comedy over the years, he still doesn't understand the distinction between sex and gender. You know, and just it's like that's like basic stuff.
There's a quote that again, I haven't seen it, and I probably won't. But there is a quote from it that seemed to be him saying literally gender is a scientific fact.
Gender is a fact. Yes.
Gender is a fact. It's like, and then that's like at the base, like that's a very like the starting point is incorrect.
Right. It's like, no, gender is a social construct, which is interesting because he understands it with regards to race. Like I actually thought the special had a lot of interesting commentary on the function of whiteness and in terms of race relationships that was insightful, but somehow he's missing the notion that gender is a construct as well. And he's also sort of commenting on it all in terms of how individuals behave towards one another and missing misunderstanding like the history of how, like, there is a distinction between the way the LGBTQ community has fought for, you know, their rights as opposed to the Black community, which is this, you know, generational struggle. These nuances that he's missing. And it's like, well, should you expect that from a comedian? No, but he's doing it. He's making an argument.
Right, if he's making the argument,
he's coming
then you
here
expect
as
it, right?
pretending to be some sort of an expert or authority on something with which enough so that he's going to stand up on a stage and tell these jokes and film it and then put it on Netflix for the entire world to see. But you're saying things that are false and wrong. You're starting from the wrong point.
It's also being framed as like, you know, like if you didn't like it, if you don't like the jokes, then don't watch it. It's like, it's a comedian. It's this and this and this. Like, okay, but like, Will, to your point, like, it's not just a comedy special.
It's not a comedy special.
It's like, yeah, you're hurt by jokes. Like, no, he's making a very specific argument about something.
Against people.
With jokes in it.
With jokes
in
it.
Which, like, it's what our show does. Like, that's what we do, right?
The special is like the inverse of our show. It's like mostly jokes and some essay, you know, but it is an essay. He's making an argument and he's making a case about how, you know, he is making some good points. I'll stress this again about the way that whiteness functions and sometimes in the way whiteness functions within the LGBT community that some people overlook, but he's also discounting the fact that the LGBT community involves Black people as well. Mm-hmm. You know, it's not like he doesn't know that, but he portrays there is a battle in his argument between, he says explicitly that Black people are jealous of the success of the LGBT community. And there's something about that because it has been led in many ways by white people. But the conclusion that he reaches from that worthwhile point to make is wrong. It's like, if Black people could be born to, like, how do I say this? There's just a difference between, there's differences between those two struggles that are worth pointing out. And it's worth pointing out how the Black liberation has been, so has taken so long and there's been so little progress made, but you don't do that by like making false claims and equivalencies, you
right.
know?
Right. It's also interesting because there's an element like from what you're saying that because a lot of the people, it's like sort of speaks to the power of like transphobia and homophobia, I think, because the people who were sort of lauding this special and are like, yeah, he's saying it like it is, this. I imagine that all of the points that he made about race and whiteness are not being absorbed by these people. Like, they're
absolutely
not going to hear those or reflect on them or agree
well,
with them.
Well, that's also why we're not
talking
about those.
Well, right, or even recognize them. Like, it's sort of like, yeah, finally, someone's, like, telling it like it is about this.
Yeah,
but
there's
but not the other stuff.
Yeah, there's a reason that, like, Ben Shapiro, Steven Crowder, and Matt Walsh have all made videos talking about how triggered the left is by Dave Chappelle. And it's like, I don't think Dave Chappelle wants to be, you know, like, celebrated by those people. But he is making certain arguments that, you know, are aligned with some of the arguments that he makes. And I wish he could do a deeper level of reflection about it.
Disservice to these other points that you are making that are valid, because now nobody's talking about that. People are talking about the wildly offensive things that are not based in fact instead of what could be constructive.
Yeah, the killer joke.
Well, I am thrilled that you watched it. One of us
LGBTQ, LMNOP. What a fucking banger of a joke.
Zinger.
He did
it's
that.
It's the kind of thing that I feel like you'll look back on 10, 20 years and be like, oh man, that's kind of embarrassing stuff. Like,
one
because it's just so like, ugh.
Well, also, there's also, I think, an
but
element
he's going,
of like,
he's so dug in on it. He knows that he shouldn't. And he's doing it anyway. And that's the kind of...
Yeah, and it's, you know, part of it is, like, sort of the money disease, too, right? Because he talks about, like, his famous friends and, like Kevin Hart, like, he had his dream taken from him of hosting the Oscars and stuff. And it's like, do you think anyone really cares about that? Or, like, does that matter? That, like, one guy who was, like, homophobic and didn't apologize for it and could have hosted the Oscars if he apologized for it? I don't know. It's like, there's elements of it that just are... just seem like, why are you, why this?
Yeah.
Well, that's the thing. Like, who, there's always, you know, people like Dave Chappelle and then the people who defend him will always say, like, oh, this community is so easily triggered. They have such a thin skin. But nowhere near as triggered as Dave Chappelle clearly is by the trans community. He brings it up so many times. Parker Malloy, as you brought up, like, watched the last six specials, and he has lengthy bits about it in four of them.
Yeah.
What's this bizarre fixation? He's clearly offended by people's existence.
Well, he's what it came across as is he's feeling very defensive about it, and he's very defensive in the special. It's all about, like, how trans people don't understand and examples of trans people who do like him. And, you know, the whole thing is very defensive, but it's like, it's because you're just not getting the basics right.
Well, right. He's like, it's like this stuff. Weird mix too. Cause it's like all like, yeah, this and like, I've got these trans friends who like think I'm good and stuff. It's like, I'm an ally. Also, I'm a TERF, proudly a TERF, but also I'm an ally. Like it's this sort of disconnect, there. But also I just want to, this is slightly unrelated. And it's unimportant in the larger context of this conversation because we're talking about more important things. But the idea that your dream is to host the Oscars is very funny to me.
Yeah.
Of all the things, it's not to win an Oscar. It's not to like be in an Oscar winning movie. It's not to like go to the, it's like to host the Oscars.
Famous enough to host the Oscars.
Yeah. It's just like, it's such a silly dream to me. Like it's sillier than like, I want to be the president, which is also a silly dream, but like, you want to host the Oscars? Really? That was it?
Really?
That's like the one thing. Also, if you worked so
boring.
There's also an element of like, if you worked so hard, he worked so hard and he had this big dream and they took it from him. If he worked that hard to get to the host the Oscars, you could work a little bit harder and apologize for the thing you said.
Yep. Right.
This is a little bit like that extra
it
step.
It mattered
right?
that much. It's your lifelong dream, but not enough for you to apologize.
Right. And I think that example is a perfect example of what he's missing, right? He's saying Kevin Hart, his dream was to win the Oscars and that he didn't get to do it because the LGBT community and their sort of like their triggered overreaction like is overlooking the struggles of Black people and taking away what they have been fighting so hard to get. And I empathize with the fact that it is like disheartening to look at the, you know, Black Lives movement and just see generation after generation not being addressed in its systemic problems. He's kind of taking it to a cultural individual level too, the whole discussion of gender, race, he's taking the whole discussion into an individual cultural matter when it's a systemic thing too. And that's part of the thing that gets ignored. And I feel like his analysis would like benefit so much from making distinctions in terms of the structural way that Black people have been oppressed and how that differs from the experience in the LGBT community that does benefit from whiteness being part of it. And so there's, I don't know, I found it a little bit more complex, and I just took like the offense, like, I don't care whether I'm offended. I don't care whether these are funny. What arguments is he making and are they right on things that are just wrong? And I think that like, it's worth pointing out like, no, that's wrong. that point doesn't make sense because your assumptions on that are wrong. You know what I mean?
Right.
Well, I'm sure he'd be really responsive to these notes.
Yeah. Well, that's also like why a lot of, you know, to get comedy oftentimes is funniest when it's true. So right. Maybe that's also part of the issue, right? If you're not making actual like arguments based in truth
is
then
not funny.
It's not going to be that funny to people. Aside from like being offended and
the
and
people that believe the lies
and feeling like they're being harmed, you know, harmed by this sort of stuff. Aside from all of that, if it's not true, then it's not that funny. Having not watched it, I feel like my contribution was extremely valuable. So you're welcome for my opinions on the special that I did not and will
Thank
not see.
Thank you so much for coming on our show and telling us about this thing.
Yeah, you're welcome. Well, I think the other thing that's just so ironic is that there's, you know, the underlying aspect of his argument is this cancel culture. You know, it doesn't talk about cancel culture explicitly that much, but it's sort of like underneath it all. And then, of course, a trans worker at Netflix gets canceled literally like 2 days later.
That fixes the problem, but they're not pulling the special. So
they did pull one of that Patriot Act show about Saudi Arabia.
Yeah, Hassan Minhaj's.
Hassan Minhaj's show.
Okay, then.
Yeah, yeah.
So they do pull things.
They do pull things. It's boils down to what's going to make them money. Mm-hmm. What's the most profitable decision there? And to them, they looked at it and said, well, we got to pull the Saudi Arabia episode. And they looked at this like, well, no, we're going to keep the Chappelle show on. So that's just how it is, right?
That's how it is.
I would love to hear about this final story about the elk really quick. I think it's going to really lift everybody's spirits.
Let's end this on a chipper note. Okay. Wildlife officials in Colorado removed a tire from around the neck of an elk after 2 years. They don't know how the tire got there.
But how do they know that it was on there for 2 years?
Well, they have footage of it walking around forest land, wilderness area
Poor
in Colorado.
Baby.
After they've been on the lookout for it for a couple years. Finally, they spotted it and were able to tranquilize it and get it off. They did have to cut off the elk's antlers.
Oh, no.
To get it off. But they come back. The antlers come off every
Couldn't
year.
Couldn't
they
have just
they come
cut
back.
Through the tire? Oh, well.
I also wondered about that, and none of the articles
apparently know.
I guess it was like weighing down, but they said the elk was able to sleep and eat and drink while the tire was on. And so now it's
how long does it take antlers to grow back?
I don't know.
Like an entire life?
No, it's annual. It happens every year. The antlers fall off and then they come back.
Antlers are like hair?
That's
right?
Gross.
Generally, antlers grow in about 120 days.
Okay.
Okay.
Apologies for the voice crack.
I didn't even notice.
120 days. 120
I'm so glad that little guy got the tire out. I'm sad for his antlers. But if they grow back, they grow back. That's good.
They do. 4 months.
It would be a trip to imagine yourself as that elk, suddenly get like a sharp little sting in your side or whatever, and then start getting sleepy and then wake up and the tire's gone and your antlers are gone.
You're like, the fuck?
What the hell just happened?
You took half of it, right? But yeah.
Where's my tire?
Yeah.
I was getting used to that tire.
I've been saving that. Fuck, it's the only thing I had.
Yeah, I'm like, part of me is like, do we know that the elk is happy about this? I assume so. I assume so.
The elk
gave
its consent for this procedure.
Okay. Well, if they gave consent.
No, I'm asking. I'm wondering. You just trank darted him. I bet they didn't.
Yeah, and the elk now has experienced a loss and probably knows it's going to die one day. So
I thought this was supposed
good.
To be
that's,
cheaper.
No, that's good. You should know the truth about life.
Well, maybe the elk will appreciate forever. Each day like it's the elk's last. You know what I mean?
Exactly.
Just gonna
you
live,
can,
laugh,
you can
love.
You can find richness and fullness and fulfillment from knowing that one day
you will die.
Life ends. Yeah.
I
from the moment
this was
you're born,
gonna be a-
you're dying.
Boost our spirits. I'm now just thinking about existential dread.
We've lost the ability to leave something well enough as it is. We have to make it bad.
I still think it's positive.
Well,
go
I
go live your life
positive.
To its fullest.
Look, I
your time
jokes
on this planet.
About what he wanted in consent. I'm sure he didn't want that tire around his neck. And if he did, he can go get a new one. Guys, that is our time for this week. Will, thank you so much for joining us. Tell our listeners where they can find you online.
Thank you. Thank you. Well, I'm on Twitter. And the main thing, you know, I would normally be promoting is the show that I work with you guys on. So I thought yeah. maybe I could promote something else.
Yes, please.
So my dad wrote an article for the LA Progressive about the three tiers of racism that
Your
I think
dad is so cool.
I think it's I would love for you guys to check it out. And then also he has a bunch of essays he's written on medium.com and
Amazing.
It's bgord.medium.com. And you can check out those articles.
Can we put that in the social media, maybe in the subtweet links?
I would love
what
that.
What have you. Will would love that.
I got the link. Let's do it.
Benny just hopped into my lap. He loves it too. All right, guys, that does it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. We already said rate and review. I feel like there's one thing I was supposed to say. What is it? Mm-mm. What is it? Oh, yes. We love you very much.